So one of the things that many people may not know is that, you know, for hundreds of thousands of years, there were 6 trillion trees on the planet Earth. And once people came along, we basically have now taken 3 trillion trees away. So we basically have half the trees on the Earth that there were not all that long ago. And so part of what we're trying to do with Carbon Counts and Everforest, and in collaboration with other folks as well, is to try to put 1 trillion trees back. So we're not trying to put all the trees back, but we do think that there's an opportunity to put 1 trillion trees back out of the 3 trillion trees that have been taken down.
Well, that's an interesting trivia to set the context for this episode, where we are going to talk about playing a virtual game to plant real trees. Stay tuned for an insightful and fun conversation. Hello and a big warm welcome to yet another episode on the Mission Shunya podcast. First things first, wherever you are, I hope you're doing well. Well, this is episode 90, and if this is the first time you're tuning in, please check the podcast page or archives to check the full directory of episodes covering a wide range of stories around the global transition to the net zero carbon economy. So why am I mentioning about first time listeners in particular today? Well, recently I got a couple of messages from listeners who found the content produced nearly 2 years back very interesting. So there are chances that a first-time listener could discover this episode long after the release of newer episodes after this. Thanks for your support. I'll do my best to bring to you newer content that is interesting from any place around the world. A classic case is a story that we are going to discuss on this episode. We all play games. Virtual ones are a huge craze. But it is always associated with negative side of things, like playing too much games is bad, etc., etc. But the entrepreneur who joins us today has decided to turn this craze around games into positive climate action. Play a virtual game to plant real trees. It's an interesting story, and without further delays, let's welcome our guest for today, who is...
Hi, I'm Michael Liebenson. I'm co-founder and CEO of Carbon Counts, and we're building the game Everforest, which is going to have people play the game, plant 100 million trees, and we're all going to prosper.
So, Michael, before we get to the latest venture that you are in, let's start with your entrepreneurial journey before you started Carbon Counts. So, what's it been like? Have you been in the sustainability space all through?
Well, I'm newer to sustainability and not new to entrepreneurship. I've been an entrepreneur for 20 plus years now. This is my third startup that I've been involved with from the very, very early stages. The second that I co-founded, the two previous companies both were sold, and I stayed with the companies that had acquired them for a little while, but then moved on to the next thing. And this is the one that I'm most passionate about. Not that I didn't love the others, but this one is really special, both in the sense that I'm applying what I've learned throughout my life, but also trying to address one of the greatest global problems, which is climate change.
That's true. So what was a pivotal point? What was a pivot point that made you shift towards getting into entrepreneurship in this space?
So I think one of the through lines for my my life, I suppose, is the desire to try to solve problems. Mm-hmm. You know, from the earliest job that I ever had when I was a strategy consultant, and I tried to work on solving big problems for big companies. And then when I was in business school, I worked during both the summer between business school years, but also during school itself for the government of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts here in the United States, where I was trying to work on a project to reinvent the government of Massachusetts. And then I've been involved at the local level with local, trying to address kind of local governmental issues in the town that I lived in, Belmont, for 10 years. I was on the finance committee for the town, ran it for 3 years, again, trying to help make the town be more efficient and effective. And then from a business perspective, the first company I was involved with from an entrepreneurial perspective was Upromise, which was trying to address this giant problem of how can people afford college in the United States. It's an incredibly expensive and more increasingly expensive challenge for many families. And so the business was all around how can we, you know, use the power of business and entrepreneurship to address this social challenge. And then the next startup was around helping people save in a broader set of ways. So not just for college, but saving in their everyday lives on their groceries, for example. Mm. And so that kind of all has led me to this, to Carbon Counts, which is a mobile gaming company that is trying to inspire millions of people to globally to take individual and collective action on climate change. And I'm incredibly excited about the team that we've been able to build and the progress we've made.
That's an interesting journey. Now, talking about Carbon Counts, will you call yourself a gaming company or a climate action brand?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that we're inextricably both. And that's an unusual combination. Mm-hmm. You know, when we thought about creating the company to begin with, and I did it with two co-founders, Brett Jenks and Vikram Sahai. Mm-hmm. Brett is the CEO of Rare, which is a global conservation nonprofit. Vikram was both an entrepreneur and also an early and relatively senior engineer at Google. So real strong technologist. And the three of us really saw the fact that if we're going to have an impact on climate change, there are a couple ways to try to attack that. Mm. One is to have governments take action and either inspire people to do the good things either through carrots or sticks. You can have companies and technology try to address the problem, or you can have consumers make a difference as well. People, regular people in the real world. And so that's really what we were looking to do. And so that's kind of the birth of the company.
Interesting. But you started with a game. And I mean, people don't think of or relate games to taking action, climate action in this space. But when I spoke to you earlier, I think you had a story to tell about having a similar kind of a game and an experience that you found really interesting. Can you share that story?
Yeah, there many people may be familiar with, well, depending on where you live in the world, you may be familiar with a thing that is in China that's called Ant Forest. And Ant Forest was created by Alibaba as a part of the Alipay system. And it's a gamified approach that allows people to work with their family and friends to do everyday low carbon activities like walking or taking public transportation or paying with Alipay. And all those things earn energy points that grow a virtual tree within the game, within this gamified experience. You have to sign up for it individually, by the way, within Alipay. You're not automatically part of it.
Okay.
And you do it with your family and friends. So it's a social experience. And if you're successful at earning enough points, they plant a tree on your behalf in the real world. And what was interesting about that was that there are 900 million people in China that have smartphones, and Alipay has been able to get 600 million people to be involved with Ant Forest and plant over 300 million trees. And that was really inspiring because, you know, you can't pre-install an app on people's phones and have two-thirds of the people use it. So it sort of spoke to us that says there's something about putting together engagement, play, and doing something that's fun and social with purpose, with doing good in the world, with helping to address this intractable problem of climate change, where many people see it as a problem, but they don't know what they can do about it. And so the idea that you can have this gamified way to make a difference, we think that that's actually an interesting insight that Alibaba has come up with and been able to act upon. And we said, what we want to do is actually take that to another level. We want to make that global, and we want to make that really fun first, to start with a really powerful, engaging game that is completely combined with taking climate action. And so what the game does is that the game is called Everforest, by the way. Everforest is going to hopefully get 100 million people to plant hundreds of millions of trees. So you play the game, have fun. We plant trees on your behalf as you make progress in the game. And then hopefully the world will prosper as a result of that activity. And then we'll do even more to help the climate get better. And we can talk more about that.
That's an interesting story about Alipay and game. Now, as much as climate action is a big objective or the big vision of the company, I mean, the core idea is to build an immersive game because people have to be really excited, interested to play the game. So how did you work around this to build that game, make it very immersive?
Yeah, so the key thing with games are hard. You know, there are 3 billion people in the world that play games. Mobile gaming is actually the largest portion of that. What Everforest is and will be is a free-to-play mobile game that will be free for everybody in the world to play. And it's, by the way, it's live right now in beta, but we'll be launching next year, and we'll talk more about that. Mm. But the whole idea is that you leverage this universal power of play, this incredibly engaging platform in form of mobile gaming, which so many people do, or effectively meeting people where they are. And the other thing that's amazing about mobile gaming is that, unlike other forms of entertainment, mm-hmm. it's not something that is finished.
True.
The day you publish it. So, you know, when you get a book, that's the book. When you watch a movie, the movie is not going to change. Games, on the other hand, they can evolve, they can change, they can unfold, they can become more effective and fun as they go. And the other thing that's really important is that you are the protagonist in the game. You are actually actively involved in playing the game. So you're not just sitting on your couch watching something or reading something. You are in the action.
Correct.
So that notion of, when you asked about immersion, that notion of being part of the process, we think is actually really important to engaging people. And when you combine that with doing it with your family and friends in a social context, so that they can see that you're engaged, they can see that you're involved, you can see that you're involved, and that's a mutually reinforcing mechanism that makes you want to stick with it, wants you to do it more, makes you have more fun, and ultimately, therefore, has more impact in the world. We think all of that is an important part of the recipe.
Well, I particularly like the idea that you need to have that social nudge so that you know the people around you, the people who are close to you, are actually part of the bigger objective. So that's really interesting. Now, how many months did you take to kind of get this game developed into a beta version that's currently running?
The company was founded in late 2020. And then in early 2021 was when we started first hiring the team that helped us think about this problem and ultimately became the core of the team. So there is a game that some people may be familiar with called Club Penguin. And Club Penguin was started in British Columbia by a team of folks. And it became the largest children's game in the world with 300 million players in every country on earth. It was acquired by Disney. It was hugely successful. And a number of the core original members of the Club Penguin team are the original core members of the Carbon Counts team and are building the Everforest game.
Nice.
And so that's kind of where we started. And so, you know, as I said, games are hard. You need to have really, really, really talented, experienced people to do it. And that's sort of the original group that's kind of getting it going.
Well, the game definitely sounds really interesting and exciting. Now, moving back to the business side of things. Now, when you say it's going to be free and you're going to have a bigger objective to do, the real question now boils down to, how do you allow people to play for free, but how do you also ensure that you plant trees? So how are the economics working around this?
Yeah, games are a really big business. Now, games come in different forms. You know, some of them are, you know, like console style games where you basically pay up front to be able to play the game. And then it's essentially free after that. And then there's, you know, a giant genre of games that are free-to-play games. Hmm. And free-to-play games aren't totally free in the sense that they do make money. And the way they make money is primarily through 2 mechanisms. One is they have what are called in-app purchases. So when you download the app for the game, you have the option of paying money to be able to do things like buy gold bars or diamonds or things like that within the game that allow you to get progress in the game, to go faster in the game, to have certain elements in the game that you desire. So that notion of in-app purchases is a revenue mechanism for free-to-play games in general. And the second one is advertising. And advertising tends to come in 2 forms. One is ads that interrupt you. So you must watch this ad in order to proceed, or rewardable ads. And those are ads that you don't have to watch, but if you watch them, you get progress in the game. And those are the 2 main mechanisms. And so we are going to be doing both in-app purchases as well as doing rewardable ads, not interruptive ads. So a person can play this game and never watch any ads and never pay any money, or they can do 1 or 2 of those things. And the net of that money-making that we do, because every, you know, games need to make money.
Correct.
All businesses need to make money in order to survive and pay their employees and all that good stuff.
True.
The fact that we are able to make money allows us to then fund very substantial tree planting. So as I said, our goal is to plant 100 million trees by 2025, and ultimately over time plant hundreds of millions of trees. And in order to do that, we have to actually make money to do it. So we fundamentally believe that this is a business that can do good and do well at the same time, and that those things are mutually supportive.
That's interesting. I'm sure the reason I asked this question was a lot of users typically are not aware how the business model works around free game but still having an impact. So that's the reason I asked this, and it's very wonderfully put. Now, moving back to the bigger objective, tree planting. Tree planting, there is a perception that a lot of things, a lot of carbon credits and tree planting and everything associated with it is a little hazy at times, because you're not sure whether it is truly planted or the money was spent in the right way. Traceability is a big issue in this space, or it has been in the last few years, when a lot of money has gone into carbon credits and carbon offset projects and so on, but traceability has been an issue. So how are you going to work around this aspect?
Sure. So carbon credits and offsets, a lot of times and I think they're still in an early stage of development. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still a lot of issues to be sorted through with how to do that most appropriately and most effectively. And I think many people are working on that. I think we'll do it. But I think one of the challenges with carbon credits is that they're often associated with forest preservation as opposed to forest planting, which is a great thing, because forests, when they're already there, are sequestering lots of carbon and they're really good for the world. The problem is that sometimes forests are sold as carbon credits when they were and essentially the promise is they're not going to be taken down, but there was never a plan to take down that forest anyway. So you actually haven't done anything by preserving the forest, because it was already going to be preserved. So that's what's called the additionality problem. You haven't done anything additional. There's also an issue what's called leakage, where, you know, you preserve this forest, but then you just take down a different forest.
Correct.
And so there are challenges with preservation when it comes to carbon credits for those kinds of reasons. When it comes to tree planting, you don't have an additionality problem. If you really plant the tree, you've done something. And so the key thing around that is actually preservation and trying to keep the tree around for a very long time. So that's one of the reasons why, at least initially, we're more focused on tree planting than preservation. But preservation is certainly a great thing, and I'm hugely supportive of it. We do our tree planting with a number of different partners who are experts at this and are really great at it. So one of them is a company called Eden Reforestation that's based in the U.S. Mm-hmm. It's one of the largest tree planters in the world. They planted close to 1 billion trees at this point. Another is a company called Earthlungs Reforestation that's based in Kenya. They're smaller, but they're great, and we've already planted well over 100,000 trees with them, even in our kind of very early stages. And as we're recording this, I'm just about to be going to Kenya to meet with them for 10 days and to visit a bunch of the tree planting operations that we have. I'm going with our chief impact officer, Nicole Rustad, and we're going to check out what they're doing and really be on the ground with them in a couple different places in Kenya, and both on the coast and near Lake Victoria as well. And so I think that there are ways that this can be done really well. If you work with the right partners and you're very diligent about oversight, you know, Nicole was at Disney at Club Penguin before, and one of her core things was working around sustainability with Disney and helping to vet the kinds of sustainability projects that Club Penguin used to work with as well. So we have experience as a team on this, and we're going to be very diligent about making sure that we're doing the right thing. We're absolutely committed to that.
That's good to know that you are having a good team that has significant experience in this space to kind of tackle this problem. Now, coming back to the game, I'm really excited to play the game myself, but I'm sure it's not available in my region. So how is the beta version doing? Like, what is the feedback? So how is the rollout looking like?
Yeah, so we're really excited about it too. Games are hard to do. They're hard to create. They take time. They have lots of different elements. You know, you have to have great story. You've got to have great art. You've got to have, you know, the gameplay itself. The core mechanics of the game have to be fantastic. The user experience has to be understandable. You've got to manage the process well. You've got to have, you know, the code has to be written in a way that's going to be stable and not going to break. So there are a lot of different pieces to it. It usually takes 2 or 3 years to actually build a great game. Mm. And so we've got a terrific team of 25 folks that are working on this. We're about 18 months into the whole process, and we've got a beta game that's live right now. It's currently live only in the Philippines. And so we're still small, just sort of getting things going. We will do a kind of gradual rollout, sort of soft launch a little later this year. So just in the next couple months, basically. And the global launch is intended to happen for essentially Earth Day in April. That's what we're targeting. So, you know, it may come to you or wherever you are before April, but, you know, hopefully everyone in the world will be able to access this game April of 2023.
Well, wonderful. That's a good date. Good target date to have launched this game globally. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm sure a lot of people will be looking forward to that. Now, Michael, on a final note, on a personal note, as a person who has been passionate about sustainability and setting up a business in this space, what would be your input or your feedback to people who want to take climate action in a small way? What would be your personal message to people who want to take climate action in a small way?
That's an interesting question. What I would say is that, you know, the vast majority of the people in the world know that climate change is a problem. No, they know that it's a challenge. That's not something that most people need to be convinced of. The problem is that we have a collective global challenge with actually doing something about it. And each individual feels like, well, I can't really do much. All right. And so when each individual person thinks that way and you roll that up into nobody doing anything, then that's a problem. And so the right way to get there, in addition to, of course, taking government action and using technology and having companies do their part, is to have each and every one of us do the little things that when you add it all up by the millions and the hundreds of millions actually make a really big difference. So when you think about, you know, the notion of wasting less food, you know, eating, you know, more leftovers, unfortunately in the United States, there's, you know, way too much food waste. And, you know, that's something that virtually, you know, everybody can do in this country and a lot of places around the world. You know, there are people that you can eat a little bit less meat. You know, there's a huge amount of land that is used for grazing of cattle, for example, that, you know, many people in the States, I know it's a very different story in India, but there many people here and other places, you know, eat more meat. And, you know, if they eat a little bit less meat, that's actually good for the world in a variety of ways. People can, you know, work their way towards using more green energy and less carbon fuels, you know, whether it's driving an EV or having electric heat in their house or electric cooking or, as I mentioned, transportation. You can carpool instead of driving or take public transportation. There are lots of things that people can do individually. And what we're going to do with Everforest, with this game, is to not only have people play and have fun, not only plant trees and actually make a difference, but we're also going to encourage people over time to do the kinds of things that I just said. And all of those little things will give you progress in the game, and you'll do them in a social context with your family and friends. So you'll do them, they'll do them, they'll see you doing them, you'll see them doing them. And when that happens, we think that we can really drive behavior change. There's a lot of behavioral science that suggests that if you see that a change is needed and you believe that a change is needed and you see your family and friends doing those changes, you observe that change happening, you're more likely to change as well. And so that's what we're going to do with Everforest. We're going to try to drive really significant change. And, you know, people can do those little everyday things. And when you add them all up across all of us across the world, we can change the world.
Wonderful, wonderful. A lot of interesting action items that anyone can take. I particularly like the idea about food waste. I mean, the problem is not well spoken, but everyone can actually minimize the food waste that happens at source, I mean, when they consume. So that's a easy action item for anyone. On a final note, I am really looking forward to the game, and I'm sure a lot of listeners after listening to this episode will be looking forward to the game. So with the new round of fundraising and everything, anything between now and April 2023 that we should look forward to? Any big announcements coming up?
Well, you know, again, depending on where you live, we'll be live in different countries before that. So, you know, when games roll out, they tend to roll out in these kind of phased ways because, as I mentioned before, games evolve and they're not just finished on day one. So, you know, what you do is you go out into the market and you make sure that people respond to the game, that they really like it, that they want to stick around, that they want to keep playing it, that it's legitimately fun. games have to be fun. That may sound really obvious, but you know, you got to do that. And so we believe that the connection of play and purpose, of playing and planting trees, can be really compelling. But at the end of the day, if the game is not fun at its core, none of the good is actually going to happen. So what we're going to be doing is going out to different countries and gradually rolling this out so that we really have great feedback. We've already heard great feedback about the game as it is, but we want to make sure that the game is really in outstanding shape when we go live globally this coming Earth Day.
Wonderful. Well, Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And especially when I first heard about this company and the mission of this company, I was really excited to find out more about the game, in fact. And then after talking to you, I kind of understood that the entire game is driven by a deeper sense of purpose. So it was wonderful having you on the podcast today. And thanks for taking time to join me on the show.
Thank you, Girish. My pleasure.
And that was a wrap on a features segment. Hope you are as excited as me to try the game Everforest once it launches for the wider community. To keep track, follow Michael and the Carbon Counts team and sign up to become an insider to know more once the game launches. The link is carboncounts.tech. I'll leave it in the description section for this episode, so make sure to check that. Or you can simply follow Mission Shunya for all the latest from all the guests who have come on the show. I regularly post updates from the guest across all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The handle is @MissionShunya. And we did have a good action item towards the end. Well, until the Everforest game comes online and we start playing to plant trees, we can be more conscious of our daily choices. In particular, like the food we eat, and ensure that we don't waste something that has consumed a lot of energy in production. So let's do our bit daily. Before I wrap up, I have to thank Jacob, Sumedha and team from Terra Generation for creating the beautiful artworks that you see on each episode. Terra Generation is a content agency specialized in telling stories in climate, biodiversity and sustainability. You can know more about them by visiting terrageneration.com. And I will be back in 2 weeks' time with yet another interesting conversation. Until then, this is Girish Shivakumar signing off. And as always, thank you for listening.